You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Here they come on third and five. Wilson, boy, somehow escapes. He's going to run for it. Plenty of green grass. Wilson stays in bounds. He's still going. And he's in. Touchdown. Zach Wilson pulling a magic trick.
Down the middle, he's got it. Elijah Moore. The 20. The 10. The 5. Touchdown. Tune is buried. That was Sauce Gardner. Here he goes! Goodbye, and hello, Enzo!
Van Dyke swarmed, swallowed, and sacked. Guess who? You only got one guess, Jermaine Johnson.
Here's Breece Hall, looking for history. Hall with his 24th straight game with a rushing touchdown into the NCAA record books.
Listen. Thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to get to know your foe, Miami Dolphins edition. So we welcome back our friend who covers the Dolphins on the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast, Mr. Alf Arteaga. Alf, what's up, brother? Welcome back to the show.
I'm doing good. Important game on Sunday, huh?
Yeah, unexpectedly. You know what's crazy, Alf? If the Jets somehow beat the Dolphins and the Bills lose to the Steelers, the Jets would be in first place technically, which is wild. Of course, that means that if the Bills lose and the Dolphins win, or even if just the Dolphins win, they're still in first place. So there's a lot going on in this game in a way that nobody would have forecasted before the season started. Let's talk about the biggest story around the Dolphins right now. And I don't want to get into the Tua situation because that's been talked about to death, but I do want to talk about the change from Tua to Teddy Bridgewater because that is relevant to this matchup. Tell me a little bit about how much different you expect the Dolphins offense to be with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback as opposed to Tua at quarterback.
Well, what we saw against the Bengals is that Teddy basically came in without the basic package of what they were working on because to give you a little insight into what happened last week, they played a game on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, and then a hurricane was coming in, and the Bucks, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, took over our training facility, and we had to share it with them for one day on Tuesday. But then since the hurricane was coming in, we had to leave early for the Bengals, and they could only get one walkthrough in Cincinnati. So they basically had to play the game with the install and one walkthrough. A walkthrough that was actually recorded. I don't know if you saw that, what was going on Twitter. But yeah, there was all kinds of fun subterfuge last week going on. And, you know, he came into the game kind of cold, not knowing the basic package. So you could tell, and this has been a topic on our podcast this past week, that Coach Mike McDaniel all of a sudden got completely out of character. He got more conservative and started running much more basic stuff. And my guess is that he was doing that because Teddy just didn't have the basic package on such a short week. Now he's had 10 days, so I think that they'll create a game plan that he can execute. But if I had to guess, I would say Mike Gesicki gets more involved. The downfield passing game suffers a little bit, although Teddy Bridgewater did complete a nice long pass to Tyreek Hill in that game against the Bengals. But I would say that the running game is going to get a bigger boost and that the offense is going to look a lot less high-powered and much more look – it'll look much more like what the 49ers used last year toward the end of the year. A lot of ball control, short passes. The tight end is going to be involved, and they're going to try to run the ball a lot.
And what people, I think, forget is that even though Tyreek Hill can get downfield, and certainly Jalen Waddle can too, all you've got to do is get the ball in their hands, and they're going to make plays on their own, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to try to get it to them in space. You got to try to scheme plays for them. You could see it early on in the Bengals game. I was, you know, he got knocked out of the game, so it's hard to say this, but we could say with great confidence, and we said it on the podcast, if Tua stays in, he was going to end up with a monster game because he was starting to pile up the yardage early on in that game. And he was doing it by throwing those play-action dig routes to Waddle and Hill that have been running free all season so far. So I would expect a lot of that stuff too. I would expect a lot of design passes, some screens, much more down back to basics with Teddy Bridgewater, with Tua Tagovailoa. Mike McDaniel was getting away from the run game because the passing game was, quite frankly, working very well. So I would expect a much more basic game plan this Sunday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Alf, when it comes to the running game, it's sort of strange what the Dolphins have done so far. Raheem Mostert, who's obviously very familiar with the scheme, having been with McDaniel in San Francisco, the two games where he got a decent amount of carries, he produced 11 carries, 51 yards against Baltimore, 15 carries, 69 yards against the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday night. Is that something that the Jets should expect on Sunday? A lot more Raheem Mostert, because it seems like they may have found a formula that's actually working now.
Yeah, they started the season off. They started camp, they started the preseason, and they started the regular season with Chase Edmonds as the starting running back. And it just hasn't paid dividends. Beside one run against the Ravens where Edmonds popped a 28-yard run at the end of the game that put him in position to win it. Besides that, they haven't had, you know, the running game pay too much dividends with Chase Edmonds as the running back. But you started to see last week how Raheem Mostert was starting to take over that RB1 role. And I would expect that to continue. I would expect Raheem Mostert to be the top guy and Chase Edmonds to be the third down guy. You know, they complement each other well in that regard, especially Chase Edmonds on third down because he's been a pretty decent pass blocker. And he did drop a touchdown pass last week from Tua Tagovailoa. But he's been pretty reliable with his hands as well. But I would expect Raheem Mostert to be the RB1 going forward, and I do expect him to get the ball plenty in this game.
And if you think that Raheem Mostert is going to do better than his daily fantasy player projection over at prizepicks.com, you should go over there right now and pick him as one of your players. Pick 2 to 5 of them. One of the guys that I would certainly recommend picking, in addition to Raheem Mostert, is Tyler Conklin. For some reason, every week, they have a very low player projection on Tyler Conklin, and he tends to always go above that projection. So I would pick him as one of my players. I would probably pick Raheem Mostert as well. Here's how it works at prizepicks.com. You don't compete against anybody else. It's just you versus the projections available. You can get involved in any sport you want. Football, NFL, college, the NBA, college basketball, MLB, NHL, anything you want. It's all there at prizepicks.com. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 using the promo code PLAJ. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. Deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code PLAJ at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100 at prizepicks.com. And Alf, we talked about all the other layers of the Dolphins offense, so let's talk about the offensive line. As everybody knows, the Jets' offensive line is a bit of a mess right now. A lot of injuries, guys shifting all over the place. And it sounds like the same thing is happening with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, absolutely. They started off the season pretty well in pass pro, especially through two games. And then they took some injuries against the Buffalo Bills. If you watch that game, they had guys shuffling in and out of the lineup the entire game. Terron Armstead has been an absolute revelation all year. He's dealing with a toe injury, but he's been very, very good since day one. I believe he has, I got to finish charting, and we talked about this off the air, but he has one defeat in pass pro the entire season through four games. He's been absolutely stellar. Connor Williams, a lot of people were wondering, why would you take a near Pro Bowl left guard and move him to center? Well, I guess the idea was that they're going to try to make a Pro Bowl center, right? So he's been very, very good. But Liam Eikenberg has been shaky for the past couple of weeks at left guard. Robert Hunt has been having to move around from right guard to right tackle. He started doing that in the Bills game. Greg Little has been playing very, very well for the first two games, but then he hurt his fingers against the Buffalo Bills. I believe he has a couple of broken fingers. And ever since then, his play has suffered. He had a horrific game against the Bengals, okay? So, you know, they have some issues on that offensive line, namely at left guard and right tackle. They have Austin Jackson coming back in 2 weeks, and then they're going to have some decisions to make as far as who is going to start where, because Austin Jackson can play left guard. He could also play right tackle. So they have they're a little unsettled right now at left guard, at right tackle. They need to improve those two areas.
Alf, defensively, the Dolphins were known for a pretty nasty pass rush last year, and they did bring the heat against Josh Allen and the Bills. But this pass rush, other than that game, hasn't cooked the way that it did last year. What's going on there?
Yeah, I would tend to not to make too many excuses, but I thought that Lamar Jackson had a really good counter for what we did. Last year, we hit Lamar Jackson. We sacked him. We rattled him in the pocket. This year, he seemed to have a really, really good counter for us, and he escaped consistently against our pass rush. The first game, I thought we brought proper pressure on Mac Jones, and we stifled that offense. Against the Bengals, they just look tired. They just look absolutely tired. But we do expect a little bit more from these guys. Emmanuel Ogba is off to a good start once again. You know, we expect him to play well, but Jalen Phillips is a guy that we wanted to break out. He has one sack. He got it last week against the Bengals. And you could almost see it. When he got that sack against the Bengals, he was like, you know, finally. Because he's been so close. He's been really, really close to putting up some numbers early on this season. But, you know, close doesn't really get it, right? Close is just a hurry. Close is, you know, it might flush a quarterback out of the pocket, but you got to get him down. So Jalen Phillips, I would expect to come on here late. The guy who's been an absolute revelation has been Melvin Ingram. You know, the guy, we signed him as a depth option. And then the guy goes and wins Defensive Player of the Month, you know? So you got to be really happy with the contribution that Melvin Ingram has made so far. He was great against the Bengals again. So he's gone under some type of renaissance. He's been really, really good. But we do expect more from Jalen Phillips. I wouldn't call him a disappointment, but he has to improve. He has to get better.
As far as the secondary goes, very banged up. Byron Jones and Xavien Howard both dealing with injury issues. What's the story with those two, and how has the secondary performed in lieu of them both being banged up so far this season?
Yeah, on Xavien Howard, he's been dealing with a groin injury since the Bills game, since early on in the Bills game. He was in and out of the lineup in that game. Against the Bengals, he just left the game at halftime with a groin injury. The good news is it's not a hamstring or anything like that, but it is a groin injury that he's dealing with. The Dolphins play with their injury designations all week, and they're one of these teams. Like, they're very forthcoming. Mike McDaniel has been very forthcoming with what he wants to do on offense, and he'll talk about individual players and how they have to improve and what they have to do as far as inside of his offense or on his team. But on as far as injuries, Mike McDaniel is as less forthcoming as you can get. They tend to just put everybody on the injury report, but they've gotten into some type of rhythm lately where if they list you as limited on Thursday, it means you're playing. Byron Jones is a different story. He's been inactive all year. He's been on the PUP list. we've kind of discovered a few things. First of all, we discovered that Nick Needham is probably best in the slot. He's had some bad moments outside, but he's a guy that you could count on in the slot. But in their absence, they found this undrafted free agent, Kader Kohu. I don't know if you guys like PFF or not, but if you're a Pro Football Focus watcher, Kader Kohu is like the third-ranked rookie defender in the league. He's been absolutely stellar at cornerback. He started a couple of games. He played a really good game against the Bengals, against Tyler Boyd. Kader Kohu is a guy who would step in and they like a lot. Keon Crossan's a guy who's really fast, plays with a lot of speed, and plays outside. He's been a guy who's also stepped in. But they decided to do something strange against the Bengals and completely out of character. They decided to get much more conservative on the outside. Gone was all the man-to-man bump and run, and in was a bunch of zone and a bunch of man-unders and cover six. So I'm interested to see who they have available and then how they play it going forward.
The Jets' running game struggled last week because the offensive line had a lot of problems blocking. However, Breece Hall did find a way to make some plays on his own, wound up shockingly with 66 yards rushing. What are the Jets going to be facing when it comes to the Miami Dolphins' rushing defense this week?
That was a very, very sore spot last year. If you asked any Dolphin fan, everybody was pretty excited about the talent that they had on defense and how they performed, all the turnovers they created. And especially their pass defense. But all offseason, Dolphin fans kept talking about, you know, they got to fix this run defense because this run defense was absolutely terrible last year. Well, it seems like it's worked because the run defense has really come on. And all they really did was add two guys. They added Trey Flowers and they added Melvin Ingram. Melvin Ingram, while his sack numbers weren't there, his pressure numbers were. But one thing lost with Melvin Ingram last year is how good he was setting the edge with Kansas City and the Steelers. He's really good against the run. And Trey Flowers is an absolute beast on the edge as well. Raekwon Davis has been injured, but he came back against the Bengals and had another great game. I don't know if you saw that game, but Joe Mixon had, I believe, 61 yards on 25 carries. I think that's a pretty successful outing for our run defense. So that's the area where the Dolphin defense has improved the most is in the run game. So I'd expect them to continue that, and I think that's a focal point for this week. They got to stop the run because the Jets have found something there, especially with Breece Hall, who I like a lot, by the way.
Alf, we've heard a lot about Mike McDaniel, the mad genius, the mad scientist. Talk a little bit about his coaching style so far and what the Jets can expect strategy-wise, not just for McDaniel on offense, but his coaching staff when it comes to the defensive side of the ball.
Okay, on the defensive side of the ball, he's essentially brought back every single coach that was on the squad last year, right? And then changed up the secondary to add Patrick Surtain and Sam Madison to coach the DBs, which is, if you're a Jet fan, you remember those guys from about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. They were our cornerback tandem. So those guys are coaching the secondary. On offense, it's been completely different, depending on the quarterback. With Teddy Bridgewater in last week, but I wouldn't take too much out of that because – you know, it was a guy coming in cold, but they tended to become much more conservative. His coaching style on offense is really, really aggressive. And that offense is absolutely tricky and really fun to watch. Like, you're going to see 2-3 motions sometimes. They're going to show you one formation, then switch into a completely different one. And then you're going to see a pretty wide open attack if Tua's in. I wonder if they're going to continue that with Teddy Bridgewater. But as far as the offense, yeah, there's a reason Dolphin fans are giddy with Mike McDaniel. Like, the guy is as advertised. Like, he knows what he's doing on offense, absolutely. And he said that he wanted all his coaches to be head coaches of their individual units. And so far, it looks like he's kind of concentrating on the offense, and Josh Boyer is in charge of the defense. And there's not much crossover there. So there's harmony in the way that they're running that as of right now.
What do you expect the Dolphins' strategy to be against the Jets at MetLife Stadium Sunday? And ultimately, how do you think this game plays out? Give me some predictions. And you don't have to give me an exact final score, but ballpark, how do you think this ends up?
Well, I think they want to get back to some basics and to, you know, what got them to this record in the last 13 games. I don't know if you know, but the Dolphins are 11-2 in the last 13 games that they've played. Mm-hmm. The majority of those wins have come one way, and that's with ball control offense and a good defense, and a defense that creates turnovers and gets after the quarterback. I think they want to get back to their identity, go after Zach Wilson, try to have another good game on defense, but on offense, just be efficient. Just stay out of the way, stay on schedule. Mike McDaniel really harps on turnovers. He really cares about the turnover differential. He believes it's the main factor in winning or losing. So take care of the football, run the ball, move the ball, score it when you can in the red zone, and then just play great defense. Get after the quarterback and Zach Wilson. That should be the formula for this Sunday. And to get back to the basics of how they've won most of these games.
You think they're going to end up winning?
Yeah, I believe that the Dolphins will get it right. They've had 10 days to prepare for this. I think they knew early on that they were going to start Teddy Bridgewater. I think that they're putting a lot of eggs into that basket, and I think they're going to have a game plan that's going to, you know, that's going to accentuate his strengths and the strengths around him. Like, I think they're going to try to feature the two wide receivers once again. They've been good all year, so that's, you know, they're going to try to do it again. I think that they might even try to attack certain coverages, especially whenever they see single high. I think they will take shots down the field when they see those coverages. They're going to play a little bit more basic, but I do expect them to pull out the win. I do expect the game to be much more competitive than some people think. Some people think that they should just run roughshod over everybody. I don't believe so. I think that this division has drawn closer, except for one particular team up north who I believe might stay in the cellar. But yeah, I think it'll be close, but it won't be necessarily pretty. It won't look like your normal Dolphin win this year. All exciting, but I think they'll leak it out. I think they'll get back to basics and how they've won games going on a year now.
Alf Arteaga, co-host of the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast, knows everything you'd want to know about the Miami Dolphins, which is why I'm glad that he was able to join me on the show today to break them down here on Know Your Foe. Alf, thanks so much for coming on. As always, really appreciate it. For those who want to check out the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast, follow you on social media, how can they do that?
You could get on our 3 Yards Per Carry Twitter account. That's the number 3 Yards Per Carry. You can get our podcast anywhere you get your podcast, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast.
Make sure that you check out everything Alf is doing over on the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast and follow him on Twitter. Also, check out everything we're doing over at playlikeajet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. The Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, has got some fantastic All-22 breakdowns, including one of Zach Wilson's fourth quarter magic act from the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers this past Sunday. That review is up, so make sure you watch it and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already, youtube.com/playlikeajet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams Bless You Thank You shirt, the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.